All right, so let's record.
Yeah, we're gonna. What are we doing this week? The apocalypse?
Yeah,
I think we're doing the
apocalypse.
Yeah,
right, yep.
Let's start talking about the apocalypse.
Yeah,
I'm here. Let's talk about me.
No, we already did that.
Yeah.
What? You did?
Yeah, when your movie came out like a couple months ago.
Old news.
We're talking about like the end of the world.
Well, I'll be on my way, I guess. Dicks.
Is he gone?
Is he working? Did that go away? That sounded like it went farther.
I forgot my keys. You know, my keys to ship. My ship.
Beat it!
All right, I'll go. But I'll have my revenge. Vengeance.
For that horrible movie?
Oh, I guess I already had it.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast! Zero Issues Comic Podcast!
Excelsior!
Hey, welcome to the show!
We're here.
That's the part that we're at now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
Go with that.
This is the episode that we record backwards.
Oh, yep. It's riding.
Well,
I don't think the listeners like, at home should do that at all.
You just went to Twin Peaks there.
Now I've got more questions than I have answers.
Look.
They're filming fucking midgets.
I like reference.
Okay.
I love reference.
Most of what we do around here.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the time that I had a noisy drink.
Like this one?
We're drinking some, usually we have beer.
I'm going to spill this if I yeah. shake it more.
Usually we enjoy beer when we record. This time...
We're having Dusk and Stormies.
They are delicious, and they took a lot of steps, and I was very... I did a lot of hard work standing
yep.
around watching these two make the drinks.
You helped out. What do you
think? I was squeezing limes backwards.
It's true. I think I popped a few bottles open.
You put the ice in?
I put the ice in. That's true.
Yeah.
That's, I had to break it up a little bit, too. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but, that's the extent of my physical ability.
I broke the ice.
Ah, yeah.
You're a real strong guy.
And now that I've broken the ice, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Bri.
I'm Merc.
I'm Kyle.
And we got
And together we're...
Drugs.
Hopeless. Together we're... One whole person worth of self-esteem, apparently.
Not a great person, though.
So it's not quite a whole person. Maybe 75%.
It's a whole person,
still
but
work
I...
On that.
Like, fully rounded, just not like a, good person.
Just not a good person.
So what's in the news?
Yeah, let's go to it.
Good news.
Current Zero News Flash.
All right, welcome to the news. Starting off, just very recently, at least at the time we recorded, it was announced that...
August 92.
Yeah, August 1992. Image Comics, when will
they exist?
Young blood forever. Yes, Justice League Action, which is the new animated series, finally got a premiere date of Friday, December 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with an episode called Shazam Slam.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of casting news. I don't know if it was done beforehand.
Is Shaq going to be Shazam?
Goddamn. That's the only way this could be better.
Oh. Shazam. Do you know who Shazam is?
Oh, I do. But feel free to jump in.
Sean Astin.
That's right.
Rudy?
Yeah. But did you see who's the wizard?
Carl Reiner. Carl Reiner.
Like, that's out of
that's a
kind of left. It's good, but it's really out of left field. Like,
oh, for sure.
Wow, you got some pretty hard. And
there were some clips posted too. There's like an action clip of like Superman fighting Parasite, and it could be a good time.
We'll see.
We'll see. Again, it's like kind of got
Parasite, hit. Voiced by that's right, Leonard Maltin. Is he alive? He's alive.
He's alive.
Yeah. He's a ghost, which is even weirder.
I saw the Daily Show when I was in New York in 2014,
uh-huh.
Jon Stewart, and he was sitting like 2 feet away from me. Leonard Maltin was there.
And then he was escorted out by security.
Yes, he was.
Leonard, we keep telling you, don't come to the show.
Leonard,
he was
this
drunk and filthy
week.
And throwing his own feces.
He's
yes.
like, I want to critique you.
Yeah. This is gay and thumbs down.
I could put some up.
We went too far there.
Yeah. Who else is in
there?
He
seemed like a lovely man.
Anyway. Conroy and Hamill are both in it, which is awesome.
All right.
Doing Lex is James Woods.
Oh,
I think
boy.
He's voiced him once before.
Well, he voiced Owlman in
did he?
Crisis on Two Earths.
I thought he did Lex before. I could be wrong.
It's possible. That could be interesting.
What's his name? Diedrich Bader.
Bader.
Booster.
Bader.
As Booster Gold.
I like
Diedrich
that.
Bader was Batman.
He was Batman.
Brave and Bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like him.
And Oswald on the Drew Carey Show.
Yeah.
That is true.
I like him better as Booster.
He was in the Beverly Hillbillies movie.
He's Colin Mockery's erstwhile chum.
And he was the martial arts guy in Napoleon Dynamite.
Was he?
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in to BaderCast.
Yeah.
That we'll see all you Baders later. Bait on, my friends.
I don't know who's playing like Superman and Wonder Woman. I didn't see it. One of the Newbern or Daly were coming back for that too, but I guess they're not.
I don't know.
I thought I had read that somewhere, and that's disappointing to me personally.
Disappointed.
I think the plot apparently has something to do with him fighting the Shazam one anyway, because they're like 10-minute things of him fighting Black Adam. I want to say on the moon. I thought I read that somewhere. I don't know.
I don't know.
We're going to see what the show's all about on December 16th, I guess.
Yep.
Kingsman 2 has, they're making another Kingsman movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a fun time for sure. And the plus side is, unlike other Matthew Vaughn adaptations of Mark Miller comics, he's Matthew Vaughn is directing the sequel for this one, so that gives me a lot of hope. I enjoyed Kick-Ass movie for what it was. It was a crazy Matthew Vaughn movie. It was a good time. Second movie was pretty not great because he wasn't. Yeah,
I didn't mind it.
It wasn't. I didn't find it horrible.
It wasn't horrible, but...
But it was like, oh, it's the same, you're seeing the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
I'm hoping that...
This guy's a lot less believable as a nerd when he's a hunky beef boy.
Matthew
he runs so fast.
I think Matthew Vaughn has a really good track record, and I feel like he'll do something interesting with it and make it worthwhile. However, yeah, so that has been delayed. I think it was supposed to come out in May, and it's been delayed till October 6th. 2017, I think, making room. I think they kind of did a switcheroo with Alien Covenant coming out. The Ridley Scott.
I saw that was pushed up.
Yeah.
Way
so
ahead,
it was pushed up, so Kingsman got pushed away. Yeah. So we got to wait a little longer for that one.
You know what? There's so many other freaking movies coming out.
Yeah.
I feel like I
The
never...
thing is, we got to wait 6 extra months or so for like another 7 or whatever for a comic movie. I don't know what we're going to do in the meantime.
Watch 5 or 6 other comic movies.
What?
I can't remember the last time I went to the movie theater for just like a regular movie.
Yeah.
Like I know there's other movies that are out there that exist.
Oh, yeah.
I just haven't seen them.
I hear a lot about them, but, you know, I've only got enough time to go to, like, I don't know how many movies a year in the theater, and Marvel has apparently taken all of those. Yeah.
You know, if they made more superhero romantic comedies, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
I'd go to those.
Do more interesting genre stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Marvel stuff at the movies.
Oh boy.
they've announced that the Inhumans TV show is going to happen, but that'll be on ABC, but the first 2 weeks or I guess the first 2 episodes will be shown in IMAX theaters.
Hmm.
Which I think is a weird combo. You're going to have to pay to go
see this thing that you can see for free.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of like what they did with the Clone Wars cartoon. Like, they had a movie, and then TV... Like, the movie was basically a 2-hour pilot.
Yeah.
And I think they aired that on TV as well.
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
People will pay for this stuff.
Yeah.
It depends on how they do it. Like, if it's done like that, if you're doing... Okay, here's the initial movie, which could be really like a 2-hour pilot thing, and then you go to... But
the production
of like
values
here's...
are a little bit higher than the rest of it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then if you're, it's actually just, you know, here's your 1-hour TV show, and then there's another one next week, and then you can watch the rest at home. Oh, okay. I'll go pay $16.
Right. Does anyone... I guess we're going to find out how much people care about the Inhumans. I'm assuming not fucking much.
I like them.
I like them. I just don't, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I don't know how well they're going to do in the theatrical thing.
Well, but Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. But because it's like a TV show, basically, I don't think it's going to get the same.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All except for Coulson, there was no characters.
Yeah, I know.
Anybody knew, so it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, because, but there was no other game in town, basically, at the time.
Right.
Hmm. Now there's four CW DC shows.
Yeah.
Some of them are okay.
But then they've also set up their own track record of if you like any of those ones, right. you're going to go and check out Inhumans.
You think, so. I like the Inhumans. I'm hoping it turns out well. I will definitely be watching this. We don't have an IMAX theater here, so I can't chip into that.
Yeah.
But there might be a reason that they took it from a movie and made it a show instead. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They might have sort of realized, like, hey, you know, this is, has the most potential of not clicking with an audience for the movies.
That, you know, my theory is the whole Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, because they've been dealing with Inhumans anyway, so, and they haven't really been linking that to the films. So for, you know, like, 5-6 films later to suddenly introduce... And if the Inhumans in the film seems weird.
If sort of putting like a Marvel TV thing that sort of links to that part of the world in actual theaters is a way of trying to, you know, at least like put the image of them trying to cross things a little bit, that would be welcome because it's been pretty divided and I don't know, there's so much potential that's been wasted, so we'll see. That's some news for you.
Warm me up. Oh.
Welcome to the warm-up!
The topic this week is, we're talking about, like, apocalypses.
Get out of here!
Where's my hat?
Pathetic Apocalypse is our new character. Yeah.
We just like guys with deep voices who are just a fucking mess.
The more just awkward and metallic their clothes, the better, I think. So, in honor of that, it sort of started off apocalypses and bad futures.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Kind of linked together.
Yeah, totally.
So, we're doing a quiz. It's a bad future quiz. All about bad futures and apocalypses. It should be an odd number of questions. I think I have, it's technically 5 questions, but it might be more closer to 7. So we'll see how it goes. It's an odd number.
5 and 2 secret questions hidden inside the other questions.
All right. Starting off, Bishop. We all know Bishop. He's generally, his whole deal is traveling back in time to prevent some bad futures. He does that. He's done that a few times.
Nope.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a Trunks.
He is a bit of a Trunks.
Get out of here.
Alright, so, across different adaptations, continuities, what have you, name 3 characters who caused the bad futures he specifically went back to prevent.
Gambit.
Oh, Gambit gets blamed a lot, but he, I don't think he's ever been guilty of it.
Should I just name characters?
okay,
Professor X, Wolverine.
Professor X, yes.
Batman.
Yeah, I know, I was gonna say, you got one of those, right?
Batman.
Comic-based, because he was Onslaught.
Yep.
In Days of Future Past, would you argue Trask or who's or Magneto? Like, whose fault is this?
Days of Future Past comic or
movie?
Well, he didn't go back in that one.
I'll write that. Ah, shoot.
He was in the movie.
Ah, sugar
beans.
But he
didn't. But you could easily forget he was in the movie, which was unfortunate. However, the Days of Future Past adaptation from the 1992 animated series.
Well, that was really Mystique.
There you go.
That was going to be my third one, but
okay.
Turns out to be my second one because I don't have a third one.
Apocalypse?
No, but...
I'm totally going to
But go. A bad future could have been called an Age of Apocalypse.
Ooh.
And I do believe that Bishop went back at some point in that to deal with that little issue. So there's a... Who caused Age of Apocalypse to happen?
What's his name? Well, it was Xavier's son who went back. Tried to kill Magneto, accidentally killed Xavier.
Yep.
Legion?
Yep. So who gets the point? I guess Kyle gets the point. Because
he explained it and I just said the name.
Also,
Wolverine.
Also, during the Messiah Complex thing, that got complicated and stupid where he went borderline.
It's Cable's fault.
Hope, apparently. And yeah, weirdly enough, I felt like, oh yeah, Gambit. It's like, no, he, like in the comics and in the cartoon.
He was like, blamed.
It was very strongly hinted it was Gambit, but it turned out to not be Gambit.
He was Gambit the red herring.
Listen, don't be that skeezy. People will blame you for things.
It's easy not being skeezy.
In the DC crossover, Armageddon 2001.
Wolverine. Professor X.
Hawk.
Mystique.
You answered the question before I could ask it.
What was the question?
The question was, who was revealed to be the future supervillain ruler, the Monarch?
The Mighty Monarch.
Not that would be
the Manator.
But yes, you're right. It was Hawk.
It was Hawk.
Who? Here's the sub question. Who did the creators originally plan for the Monarch to be before it was changed to Hawk?
Hawkman.
Captain Atom?
Yes.
Look at you.
Freaking
on fire.
There's only parts of comics that I know, but the parts that I know, I kind of know.
All right. We're going to move to one that I imagine Merc will get. In the story,
probably not.
In the story Old Man Logan, who was it that manipulated Wolverine into killing the X-Men?
Spider Bitch. Well, that was her name in it.
That's true, and you can buy her action figure at Walmart.
But it says Spider Girl on the package.
Yeah. It's lying
anyway, the question.
Yeah. So Wolverine was basically tricked into killing the X-Men by a villain that is not an X-Men villain.
Wasn't it Emma Frost, isn't it?
No.
No? No, Emma Frost helped him.
Right? It was Mysterio.
It was!
Yeah.
Good lord.
See?
All right, well, listen, we're still finishing this.
And I'm keeping my track record.
Yeah. Okay, Days of Future Past has been adapted a bunch of times. So, name most of the characters who have gone back in one way or another, or like projected back or whatever, to try to fix things.
Wolverine, Kitty Pryde.
Mm-hmm. One has been just flat out spoken in another question already.
Bishop?
Yep.
Yeah. Professor X?
Yes.
Kinda, yeah.
That's the four I have.
Yeah.
Kitty in the original, Bishop in the animated series, Xavier in Wolverine in the X-Men animated series. He like sent a psychic projection back. And Wolverine in the movie. So... Yeah, I got one.
Whoa, I got one.
You got one.
Just because you didn't say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, no,
I'm going to stay quiet.
All right. So, in Jack Kirby's Commandy, The Last Boy on Earth, which is in like an alternate future where he's the last boy on Earth.
It's a bit of an Adventure Time thing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is a freaky mutant.
Jack Kirby, The Last Boy on Earth.
Oh, man. If only.
Yancey Street's so empty.
Running around in denim cutoffs.
And a cigar.
So, Commandy the Last Boy on Earth was created because DC could not get the license to which property?
Planet of the Apes?
Yes!
Oh, I was just thinking that. I'm like, was
because
that
they had a lot of, like,
not?
Half, you know, like, mutated sort of animal
I would
characters.
Say that ended up being more fun than Planet of the Apes.
I would agree.
Why doesn't Planet of the Apes have other kinds of animals?
That's true.
That'd be way better.
Why isn't there a Commandy movie by now? Come on.
I think they're restarting the series.
Making comics?
Yeah.
Cool and all,
I think,
but
I just heard that.
Batman ended up there once, didn't he? Wasn't that part of, like, the Return of Bruce Wayne? He ends up at, like...
Commandy times?
Yeah. That sounds vaguely familiar.
I don't recall.
Maybe that was a dream I had once.
Pretty cool dream.
Yeah. Well. Thanks.
Yeah. In Killraven / War of the Worlds comics in 70s Marvel, what do the Martian rulers or invaders, what have you, what did they prefer to eat? What was their delicacy of choice?
Oh, I was going to say something nasty.
Any guesses?
Chicken cordon bleu.
No.
Chicken Kiev.
No.
Barbecue chicken.
It's a horrible apocalypse. They're not getting, like, just nice foods that you would like to eat right now.
McDonald's.
Chicken nuggets. Yeah, chicken nuggets.
Okay, you both lose. The answer is human babies.
Oh, I was going
to
say
and they,
kids.
And they have captive men and women that they have as breeders to give birth to babies for the aliens to eat. That is crazy dark for a 70s Marvel comic. So I know that ended things on a very dark, disturbing note, but this is about the apocalypse, so that makes sense. Kyle wins. We don't have the koozie, but you have it, and
you
keep
it. Anyway.
It's
at your house, and you keep it.
I've got a second koozie in my car.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, sort of like, there's the world champion, and then there's, like, the intercontinental champion.
So the two of you will just pass it back and forth.
Is it another koozie entirely?
Yeah, it's a Bay Street Bastards koozie.
Okay, so what's going to happen is, there's two koozies, there's two entrants, two people competing. The winner, there's the winning koozie, and then there's the losey koozie.
Oh, I like that.
That the loser gets, and you just trade.
The losey.
So you trade. Everyone gets a koozie. You live with the shame of the losey koozie.
What a koozie that just says participant on it.
We'll make it. It'll be good. We got merch now.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the topic, for God's sake.
Hey, let's get mean.
What the f***?
So it's the end of the world as we know it.
I feel fine.
I'm actually quite anxious.
Well, that's great.
So everything's normal.
Yeah!
All right. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
6 o'clock TVO, Are we talking apocalypse or post-apocalypse?
Either or. And okay. I think, and even just as I was kind of looking at it.
Is it apocalypses or like apocalypse?
Apocalypso?
Let's not do that.
That's only in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
You said what makes apocalyptic stories compelling?
Mm-hmm.
Why such a popular genre? And does it make a generation feel important?
Well, yeah,
I thought was a very pointed question.
Fuck you, millennials.
If it's an apocalypse question, it's like a lot of apocalypse stuff is set contemporarily. It's not a far future apocalypse. It's a present day apocalypse. I've heard this before, so I'm not. You know, just to put that out there, this is not a Kyle original idea.
Yeah.
Well, that makes that this generation, or everyone who's alive now, they're the last people who are alive.
Yeah.
So that makes them
right.
More, it really, you know, everything they do is more important because they're the last people.
So it's all just an exercise in narcissism is all it is.
Yeah. I think every generation thinks it's...
Oh, we're the last one.
Well, but just thinks like, oh my God, look what's happening right now. This is the worst ever.
Yeah.
When, you know, like, it might have been a little worse 50 years ago, and you weren't alive then, so how would you know?
Or even further back.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Are you dealing with the Black Plague right now?
Yeah.
I don't think you are.
I think people during the Black Plague might have thought apocalypses happened.
That would be fairly valid, actually, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going to fault
everyone I know is dead.
Yeah.
And bloated and in my yard. So, yeah.
As opposed to just regular and bloated and in your yard. We're just having a party.
Yeah,
that's the end of recording podcasts.
Go home. Slam.
Yeah.
It's a clean break from the decrepit, greedy modern society sort of thing. And I think everybody likes that idea. And
it's an end to everything, and then you can rebuild after that.
Yeah, and then it's, okay, we're the ones that survived, and then you make new, and you make everybody in their heads, we're going to do it new, but it's...
We're going to fix all the problems.
Exactly. You'll include everything that we think should be happening is going to happen.
Right.
Although, really, in reality, that would be ridiculous.
Of course not. And again, there's a certain element of, like, people have speculated or talked about, like, even, like, stuff like The Walking Dead being super popular. It's just, a lot of people have just sort of fetishized the idea of it. In a way, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, if, like, you know, this entire economy and system, way we live, collapses and we only have to worry about survival... Well, for some people, that seems a lot less stressful than their daily lives.
If you look at the prepper community, it's pretty crazy.
It is kind of frightening when you think about it a lot of ways. I mean, like, but that is the appeal to a lot of people is that, you know what I mean? You don't have to, like, worry about paying your taxes. You don't have to worry about going to your job that you hate. You don't have to worry about, you know, all of the societal expectations of you. Literally, if you're staying alive, that's your only responsibility.
Keeping yourself alive. And if you're doing that, then you're killing it.
Ah.
That wasn't a joke. I just wanted to contribute.
But that made me think of, and I totally didn't write it down for this, but now that you just said that with the whole talking about prepper stuff, there was Sheltered, that book.
Yeah.
That was all prepper stuff, and it was like one isolated community, and then, you know, and it's basically how the kids reacted to everything.
In a way, that book was kind of an apocalypse because it was end of that society.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just how they predicted, they thought everything was going to go to hell, and the kids killed all the adults, and then outside started creeping in. And really well done book.
Yeah.
Canadian book, too.
I haven't read it.
It's quite good.
It's a thumbs up.
Okay. I will get my thumbs on that book. What?
Yeah.
I'm all thumbs.
That's how you turn the pages.
Yeah.
All thumbs. My hands are gross. Got 10 thumbs.
Yeah.
When I was doing research for this, I was mostly thinking of, like, books where the world actually does end at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So one that I was thinking of, I haven't read, but as I was, like, researching for this episode, it's called Rover Red Charlie.
Okay.
And it's Garth Ennis. Probably 4 years ago, and it's another end of the world one. But the point of view characters are dogs.
Oh!
So it's just, like, these three dogs, and they're, like, apparently the speech is written very much like a dog would say. Like, half the time, if they're, like, you know, it starts off with a human. No, it's like written out, but it's like
Robocalypse.
One of the dogs is just like, I'm a dog. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. But they're just like, you know.
I'm a dog. I'm a dog. I'm a dog. I pee, smell butts. End of the world.
Yeah.
There is one part where it's like, one, you know, they rescue one of the dogs and they're like, I'm really concerned about my butt. I gotta stop. Hang on. Well, let me check it. It's okay. All right, let's keep going. Hey, look, it's a feeder. What's this feeder doing? I'm a dog. But it's pretty much written like, you know, 3 5-year-old kids at the end of the world.
Yeah.
Like, why is everyone being mean? What's going on?
And that looks good.
It was like a 6-issue series. I desperately want to read this now.
Hmm.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Because again, dogs would be about the equivalent of that, I think, for a toddler or something. That's interesting. It's very interesting.
Oh, I thought you would like that.
I want to read this very badly now.
This is a book. It is about dogs.
Sign me up.
But it's like the end of the world is a huge, huge thing, but I like the stories that are smaller.
Yeah.
Like you could go Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
Or you can go Final Night.
I like both. There's an attraction for both. And then there's the ones that are like big apocalyptic whole universe thing, like a Galactus coming down, or like Old Man Logan.
Like a universe Galactus. This guy eats universes. Universe.
He's super.
He's like, he's Galactus' dad.
I think he's coming.
I can only see his molars.
This Galactus eats Galactuses. Galactus is now a title, apparently.
Yeah,
like president.
Have you ever read DMZ?
No.
Brian, one of those ones I never have now.
So good. I have the whole. I picked up with the first trade and was completely hooked. And it's not apocalypse per se, but it's almost like a civil war in the States, and New York City becomes the DMZ of like the
cross, the demilitarized zone.
For
the Kyles out there.
So it's the front perspective. From the perspective of this one character who's a news photographer, actually.
Embedded journalist?
Yeah, and he goes in and just kind of becomes part of both sides and then gets embroiled and becomes part of the story, and it's heavily
can't
political.
Play both sides.
Yeah.
Zach Morris taught me that. You can't date both sides of an army. Not on the same night.
No.
What's Bri got to say?
Well, all right.
Well, his name is Bri, and he's got to say.
Buckle up, you guys.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm going to talk about future Trunks for a spell. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to spare you. Just one episode where we don't talk about Dragon Ball at all.
He didn't know what you were talking about until you said Dragon Ball.
No, I had no clue.
These are time-traveling pants. The sisterhood of the time-traveling pants.
What if the belt controlled how fast they
went
through time?
Maybe it's my comparatively hopeful nature. I like the prevented ones. We touched on this. Just like your classic, like somebody goes back to fix things or at least tries to make sure one timeline stays secure. So yes, I am talking about future Trunks, actually.
Well, he keeps fucking up. Maybe he should do a better job at this.
Yeah, he really needs help way more than he should. I don't know. I don't really have any specific one.
You know what I think would be a fun exercise?
What?
If you try to explain to Merc what you're talking about in under a minute.
It's literally impossible. So the Ripper and Army. mad scientist makes a monster. Makes android creations that decimate the future. Kill all of the heroes of that world. The son of one of them. Well, I don't know, hero in quotes, has to go back in time. He's not actually there to prevent it from happening. He goes back to the point where, like, the main hero, Goku, before he dies of a heart disease, and he's basically what he's trying to
heart
do.
Heart disease.
Yeah.
An unrelated heart disease.
He's trying to go back to basically learn what he can about the androids who destroy
like,
his
eat
world.
Eat healthier, Goku.
Exactly.
That's the abridged version. It's like, you have a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
It's like, you ate too much bacon, basically, yeah.
Yeah. The abridged version's pretty much the best. So he's trying to go back to learn more about the androids so we can more effectively fight them in his dark future, knowing that time travel doesn't work that way in his. It would just, you know, has a splinter timeline thing. His future stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
Failing that, bring Goku from the past to his future to fight them because Goku always wins all the time.
Okay.
And it goes from there. Did that explain it at all?
Yeah, kind of.
So yeah, that's the kind of story I like.
In the end, he definitely does kill those androids, though.
Oh, he does.
Using other weird time dilation.
It gets way more complicated because there's another creature that was created named Cell. Except, No, never mind. There's no way I could do that in under a minute. There's a Cell in the main timeline. There's a Cell from Trunks' timeline. And then there's a third timeline who uses another Trunks' time machine to go back to the main timeline.
Yeah, we need a whiteboard for this.
Yeah, it gets real complicated. Like, again, like, just the whole Back to the Future thing. It's like, split timeline! That is nothing. Dragon Ball gets complicated.
It should not be allowed to do that.
No, it is a mess. It is really a mess, and I love that. This show about, like, people who yell until they get stronger.
Yeah,
it's too complicated to follow.
But have you guys read Final Night?
Oh, I've read bits and pieces.
Okay.
Nope.
That's basically a Sun Eater shows up and eats the sun.
Yeah.
It's a DC book.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Galactus! No! I like it hot and spicy!
Could use more salt, but the salt is atomized.
Lava.
What's the sun made of?
Hopes and dreams!
It's the sun's a miasma of incandescent plasma.
The Sun Eater, was this a Morrison thing at all?
That Sun Eater shows up later, right?
Yeah, believe he shows up in All-Star, and he showed up in a few other things. Yeah. And he has ideas he clings to that kind of tie into the stuff, even though, like, continuity-wise it doesn't. But yeah.
So Sun Eater comes, chomps on the sun, and because it's
just a big bite out of it.
Shit!
It's like an
just
apple.
Cookie crumbled bits of sun just scattering around.
Thanks for the sun, Mom. Planet's getting colder, and there's, like, rioting and shit, and people are trying to fix it, and the League is teaming up with Luthor to try to fix it, and Superman's losing his powers, and he's like, ooh, I'm cold. This is weird. I feel cold. Is this what you guys feel like all the time?
Would he even know what that is?
He just whines about it incessantly. Well, everyone's like, yes, cold.
One of the first comics I read, like, coming back into comics was Quiver.
Oh, yeah.
That Green Arrow, like, you know, comes back to life story.
Right.
And it starts with part of Final Night.
Yeah.
And Batman and Superman are, like, sitting on a roof, and Superman's like, I don't like this. But he's at the point where, like, he can't fly anymore. He's actually leaping tall buildings to get places.
But like, it takes him, like, 3 whole bounds.
Yeah. But it's kind of neat because it's very much treated like, well, we did everything we could. Just basically do damage control as much as we can.
So right. How did they fix it?
Hal Jordan flies a thing into the sun and dies. And reignites the sun. And that's, like, his big sacrifice that...
To make up for all the parallaxing.
Yeah, and that was supposed to be, like, end of Hal Jordan. Yeah. That was supposed to be the end of him. Like, the Spectre thing wasn't going to happen. This was just, like, we're giving Hal a send-off.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then...
Yeah, that works. That's not a bad send-off. I like it.
And that was the best Final Night ever.
Oh.
I love the Final Night tease. I'm Michael Ian Black.
Why the last man?
Yes! I changed my answer. How did that not...
No, but that's a hopeful book.
It is. That's the thing. It's exactly it, right?
It's like society goes on.
It does. It's not like the end. Like, yeah. That's what I like about it.
There's still a president.
Yeah, exactly. So that one for sure, that's like... Oh, man. That was...
I've read the first couple
of trades.
That
was like a life-changing comic at the time that it came out for me. Sort of like one of those ones where I read them like, oh, shit. Like, yeah.
These are what comics can do.
This is what they can do. I mean, a lot of like Brian K. Vaughan stuff. Every like couple of years or so, like every like however little like era, it seems like he comes in like Saga again, reading Saga the first time. It's like, holy f***. Like, oh, wow, this is next level stuff. He seems to come out with stuff like that on a regular basis. Yeah. Why the Last Man, for sure. Like, that's one of those ones where I had to, like, get every single trade, and I had to, like, have the whole run of that, and I would, like, reread it, and I lent it out to friends of mine, like, repeatedly, and got hooked on it.
It went, what, about 50 issues?
50 or 60.
Okay. I want to reread that.
I think it might have been 60. I think it was 10 volumes overall, as far as, like, the paperbacks went, but... Again,
I was living in Vancouver at the time, and a buddy introduced me to it. I'd never read it, and I was just over at his place, and he's like, here, take the first, like, 3 trades. I think I might have gotten another trade after that, but I didn't read the whole thing.
Yeah.
But totally hooked. And I think, what's her name, Pia Guerrero, lived near him. She lives in Vancouver.
Oh, okay.
Lived around the corner from him. He had heard that, but he's like, I'm not going to bug her or anything. But
I'm not going to go to her house.
Yeah. We're Canadian, we don't do that.
Vaughn, like, seems like works with a lot of great Canadian artists, actually. Yeah, and again, that one, just seeing, like, wasn't exactly like a full, it would, I mean, it was a bit of a societal collapse, but it was like a major calamity because like half of the people were in a lot of places, most of the people working in certain fields, and just sort of touching on how like uneven and sexist things is, like certain things collapsed, other things did not, and it was able to sort of keep sort of functioning on some level, and yeah, that was, that would definitely be my favorite.
You know, like the Marvel The End stuff? You guys read any of that stuff?
Oh.
A lot of them are really bad. The Chris Claremont X-Men one is like 20 issues, and it's like, they're supposed to be one-shots. Chris Claremont, shut up. He doesn't know how.
Yeah, that's how.
How did you work Sage into this? Get out of here.
The last issue is just like, okay, word balloons. Oh, there's like a little window in between. I think it's you and I. Somebody saying this.
But the Hulk one is phenomenal.
That's what I've heard. I've never read it, but I've heard that.
It's post-apocalyptic. Yeah. The Hulk is the only person left alive on Earth. And he's constantly like Bruce Banner's walking around. Peter David wrote it.
I would imagine, yeah. I was going to ask.
Like, Bruce Banner's walking around. A bunch of giant irradiated cockroaches come and eat him. And he freaks out and turns into the Hulk. The cockroaches eat him anyway.
Yeah.
The Hulk, you know, reforms after being just left as basically just a bunch of bones.
Oh,
and
boy.
This, you know, keeps happening. And it happens over and over, and Bruce Banner is basically just like, I just want to die. Yeah. Like, I can't die. And finally, I guess he just sort of goes crazy, and the Bruce Banner personality dies, but the Hulk keeps going. So it's like, at the end, it's just, Hulk's the only person around. He's like, so Banner died last night. Hulk's alone, finally. And it's just,
That's grim.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, end of the world, nobody's left, but just crazy old Hulk walking around getting eaten for eternity.
God, that is grim.
The best stories, I remember, I've never actually read a Stephen King novel, but I have read, he put out a book just outlining how he writes.
Yeah, what he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hadn't read that, because I like seeing people's creative process and just how they do stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, I will create some crazy scenario and whatever, it'll be supernatural or sci-fi or just completely not possible, but you have real people. And just, you set up the scenario and then what happens? And just,
how do you get to that point?
Well, no, you have your people, here's the scenario, it happens to them, then what do they do? As a person, what would you do in that? And it's that same sort of thing. That's why I like apocalypse stories. That it's whatever crazy reason something's going on. A well-written one delves into just how would those people survive or how would they keep
going.
And that's why I think Walking Dead is so popular.
Right.
It's just that idea. It's not even about zombies anymore. Because it's not really about that.
No, it's about Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Well, yeah.
It's about telling the same story again and again and again.
Some people like it, some people don't, obviously. But I like it.
Are you still reading it?
I never really read much of it, to be honest.
Okay.
I stopped reading it at the same point I stopped reading, stopped watching the show, and that was
mushy time.
Yeah, or even, well, actually, the show, technically, I never watched that. I didn't watch the season at all. The end of the last season was like, well, fuck you too, show, and I just stopped.
Just to sum up, why is it a good thing? Why do people like it? Why do we like it?
It just makes fucking good stories, really.
For sure. As extreme a situation as possible, and seeing, like you're saying, like seeing how people react to the worst things, and whether or not it's like, it can be like nihilistic, it can be like hopeful, you know what I mean? And having that idea of like, just everything ends and maybe something else springs up. I mean, that's...
And just with a lot of stuff, is like, and going back to what I was saying earlier, but every generation has it. We have it right now, like just with climate change, a lot of political unrest, and just a lot of anger that we're all like, oh my god, it's gonna happen, and you know,
the more it
this
is,
time for real,
it's like a way of exploring it without actually talking about it.
Yeah.
Is it a cyclical thing, like as far as popularity goes? Would you say, or is it like been consistent these days? Or are we so anxious from just the world we're living in and the way we get information these days that it's just
not gonna end? Cyclical. To a point, like, and it's major popularity. I think it's like zombies and apocalypses go together in that.
Oh yeah,
in that, okay, in the downtrodden times.
Can't have zombies without an apocalypse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then other stories, like when there's more optimistic times, other stories take precedence. And
things are hella not optimistic right about now. Thus the timing of this episode.
Just before we leave the main topic onto the Moment of Zero, I wanted to do a plug for a book, which is an apocalyptic book. It's called Liminal States. I read it a few years ago, and I just listened to the audiobook. Available on audible.com. You can get your own free trial at some other website.
We are not sponsored.
No, we're not. I used the sponsorship from another website because I wanted to listen to this book.
Yeah.
And it's an apocalyptic book, and it's super cool. So if you haven't used that Audible thing, do it now and check out that book or read it for real. It's great.
We can't be sponsored, though.
Yeah, like, give us money.
It'd be real, real cool.
Hint, hint.
Mm-hmm.
Moment of zero. Moment of zero.
Okay, we're going to do a dramatic reading. I just picked up from on sale a trade collection of The Creature Commandos because I love horrible 70s horror kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. And this is like the pinnacle of horror. It's like Commandos, like they're created each one to kind of signify the iconic creatures. There's a Frankenstein creature and a werewolf and a Dracula kind of character
and a guy with gun
and again he's
I
that,
mean he's the scariest of them all.
That's Shreve. He's actually he's the worst of the bunch. Oh. Actually, he heads them up. He's their commander.
Okay.
Shreve, and he's the worst person there.
Huh. Man is the real monster.
Exactly.
I learned that from Pokemon.
But the rest of them were actually created. Like they were like Lucky, who is the Frankenstein character. He can't speak, so he's just this kind of lumbering monster. But he's like the heart of the team. He's the one that cares the most. But he can't speak and has a hard time.
He's a bit of a Groot.
Yeah. Then you have Velcro, which is just a weird name. But he's your vampire character.
Well, to be fair, this is before Velcro was a thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I have no idea. When was Velcro created?
I don't know.
Look it up. He's the vampire character, and he's
alien.
He was turned into this, like it was military science experiment, and he's pissed off. He's like, you changed me into a monster. And so he can like turn into a bat.
I'm gonna stick things to other things with little hooks.
He has to suck, like it's your typical vampire thing. He has to suck the blood. He can change it to a vampire.
Yeah.
Strength, flight, all that sort of stuff. Then there's Griffith, who's the werewolf, who is normally a shy, goofy, quirky kid from Idaho or something, but when he changes into the werewolf, he becomes cool. He's like, I want to eat everything. I want to kill.
And there's like, he's gonna be like cool and have a leather jacket.
No. So in this story, what's going on? Creature Commandos. It's all during World War II, and they've discovered that Hitler has stolen a bunch of German children, and he's brainwashed them into not listening to their parents, but listening to him as...
That monster!
I know, it's horrible. But
I like how just Hitler took, like, a couple of weeks every now and then to just have, like, Saturday morning cartoon schemes instead of, you know, horrifying...
Oh, no, it gets worse.
Okay.
So,
Don't do your homework. Smoke cigarettes. That's my Hitler, apparently.
Yeah, I think you should voice Hitler, then.
Yep. Who wants to be Hitler?
Nine.
So, but he... Nine, I do not want.
I'm a very sorry Hitler.
So, but the story starts with some of the parents coming into this house, and they're like, where's my child? Where's my child? You said my child would be here. And he's like, oh, I told you that he'd be right here. And all these kids come out, and they're like, he's like, oh, little Alexander.
We trusted you, Hitler.
And the kid comes up and hugs the mom, and she's like, what's wrong? And he's like, nothing's wrong. You're wrong. And then all the kids turn on the parents, and they kill them. And
they skateboard.
Well, this is World War II.
They invented the skateboard.
They invented German skateboards are faster.
German child scientists.
But the thing is, they brainwash them. So
put
then
a skateboard on the moon.
They listen only to Hitler, but then they also
skates and Watson. Okay, please.
Then they also gave them some sort of thing that gave them superhuman strength. Oh,
okay.
Well. So they're not just kids. They're like kids of superhuman strength that follow Hitler. So.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. So the werewolf, Griffith, says,
we are outside.
Brilliant, Griffith. You're smart as a whip.
Welcome, Creature Commandos. You have dropped by at the most opportune time, for you shall provide the final exam for my young students. If you four die, they pass.
And then Lucky points, and Velcro says,
I think Lucky wants to know if our gracious host is who he appears to be.
Hitler, you mean? No, he's just another one of the Führer's many doubles.
No, I'm not. I'm the real Hitler.
Of course, these kids don't know that. They think he's the real McCoy, which is all part of Colonel Kruger's master plan. And apparently, it's a plan that works.
Now, my children, show your love for your adored leader and kill them.
Kill them for the Führer.
Kill them for the Führer.
Death to the costume demand.
Death to Hitler's enemies.
I hate everyone.
Rap music is cool.
Skateboarding.
This is it, you clowns. I want you to take those little animals apart.
So we'll explain what's going on.
What? Like a kid is just like grabbing the kids Lucky are just, by the neck.
The kids are just jumping on all the creature commandos, and one of the little girl has Lucky, who's the Frankenstein, like basically by the throat.
Like a chokehold, except she's just flailing behind.
And he's not really fighting back.
No. The concept of fighting children is one thing, the reality, quite another. And Private Lucky Taylor finds it impossible to bring himself to raise a hand against a being so small, so beautiful, no matter how inhuman her strength. But there are some less reticent.
And so Shreve shoots the kid.
Get off your butt, Lucky! This isn't a game!
Ah! Bang.
No, the monstrous man-brute thinks, as his heart pounds furiously in his chest, this is not a game. Not a game at all.
Lucky is confused, uncertain of how to handle this, and I don't blame him. These kids aren't so different from us. Guinea pigs for a government war machine that doesn't give a damn about human life. But at least we've saved some. These little ones haven't had the time to...
Punch.
Die, enemy of the fatherland!
Punches me right in the gut.
Sudden pain can drive away reason and compassion, reduce a man to his most basic program of self-protection.
Why, you stinking little,
and he rears up to the kid.
Total fear, too, can reduce a person to the primal core of his being.
That is no costume. That's real.
And in the case of a child, that primal core inevitably cries out for security, reassurance.
Mama!
And in that instant, Axel Kaufman remembers all, and the memories drive him mad.
You made me kill my mama! You made me kill my mama!
They stop him!
Guards, he's lost control! Stop him!
And so then the kid jumps on Hitler, and Hitler's fake toupee falls off.
Yeah. But did he not have a mustache?
And he suddenly doesn't have a mustache.
His mustache toupee.
Is that his mustache off. Over there?
Oh, yeah. Maybe the mustache is also fake.
Oh, there are those
I
little lines.
I guess it is a fake, yeah. So it's not, you're not the real Hitler after all.
So the superhuman kid is choking Hitler, and they actually show this kid getting shot.
This kid gets shot as he's choking Hitler.
Twice.
What a way to go, though.
Three times, yeah. Right into the chest.
If getting shot to death choking out Hitler is pretty great.
Yeah.
They stop him too late. Pity these children. Their minds have been twisted and hammered into submission. Their spirits broken. Their bodies tampered with. Is it any wonder that, when they see one of their own so savagely cut down, when they see the one man they trusted revealed as a fraud, they explode like human bombs? Is it any wonder then that the wrath is terrible to behold? But what comes next is more terrible, as the hyper-strength chemicals in their young bodies run amok, convulsing, distorting. They're blowing up like...
They blowed up, and then they
yeah,
just...
Yeah, they're beginning of the video for fat.
Yeah.
Destroying.
Oh my god.
You're a vampire, Velcro. God doesn't want anything to do with you. Now move on out of here, while I add to the finishing touches.
So
boom!
So all these kids just bloated that up,
is, that
then
is
like
an amazing burn. What do you mean, God?
He wants God. Nothing to do with you.
What an asshole!
So then all these deflated-looking kids, and then he throws a grenade on them just to finish them off.
And after 30 minutes of breathless running,
the werewolf has changed back to normal.
What happened, sir? Did we win?
We won, Griffith. But if those kids hadn't started melting all over the place, they would have had you soft-hearted fool idiots beaten.
When are you going to realize that this is a dirty, stinking war? And in this contest, nobody wins.
We end on a pile of child corpses.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of corpses.
Half of them children. Deflated.
Yeah. The Shreve is an asshole and a moron.
Yep.
No, he blew up a daycare.
But those kids were innocent. Can't be too careful. These German kids were too innocent.
They gave me the eye.
You weren't wrong. Shreve is a monster.
Total monster, yeah.
He is the worst guy.
Yeah. Velcro's like, I eat people, and I suck on their blood, and whatever,
But this guy. He's like, guy.
You're the monster.
But this guy takes all the coupons. Like, he'll go into Superstore where they've got that big coupon thing up at the front. He'll take all of them. He doesn't even need them.
Yeah.
He's not going to buy tampons.
No.
He's not. He just doesn't want anyone else to get tampons at a reasonable price. Shreve would want those. Save some blood for on the go.
Awful.
I feel like it was better before the sound effect.
I do regret that quite a bit.
War is hell.
And whoever is cutting this, cut that
save
right
that
out.
And send it right to Chris.
All right, who are we?
Bry, apparently. Bry Conic. I do WelcomeToHereAfter.com. Took it too far that time. Yeah. You can go to WelcomeToHereAfter.com. Read my comics. They're up there. I also got some books and number one god mugs and stuff for sale. Get in touch with me. There's a couple of shows coming up. We'll talk about that in a moment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We were going to be peddling our wares. You can have our wares peddled to you? I don't know if it works that way. I don't know if words work that way.
Words are funny. I'm Merc. You can find me at www.mercasylum.com or .ca, rather. MERKASYLUM. Merc on Facebook. I have books. I have. You can go to Indiegogo and look up Season of the Dead Hours. I have a brand new graphic novel coming out. And at the time that this airs, I'll only have like a week, 2 weeks left.
When's the closing date? The 12th?
December 12th. And I'm at like about 65%. Right now of the goal.
Okay.
So getting there.
Let's get there.
Woo!
And I'm Kyle Lees. You can check my stuff out wherever you search on the internet. Just type in Kyle Lees. I'm sure to come up.
Yep.
Or you can type in the Kyle Lees, and then I'll definitely come up.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're all three of us are doing a bunch of craft sales. It's going to be Sunday, December 4th?
Yes.
Yeah.
At the Finlandia in Thunder Bay here.
Which is right above the Hoito, if you know where the Hoito is, but don't know where the Finlandia is.
Same building.
Yep. 10 to 4, 40 artists, something like that, quite a bit.
Yep.
She's expanded it this year, so there's lots going on there. And then the following week, December 10th.
Is the best one of them all.
Woo!
Because that's, it's the one there that our boy Merc made.
Woo!
He done made it himself.
It's the Christmas Bazaar. And, a bunch of people, 24 different artists at the Baggage Building Art Center, 11 to 5. Lots going on. There will be, we're getting Dee Marie to do performance art while she's, does bizarre, weird stuff. She was, like, sending me questions, like, what should I do? Should I do this? And I can't remember what she called it, but it's basically, like...
Should I do the blood drenching?
She's like, a bed of nails? I'm like, yeah, a bed of nails would be awesome. And she's making a festive bed of nails, because it's Christmas.
So it's broken ornaments.
Yeah. But then she's like, should I do the, like, the lifting? But it's basically like you're lifting cinder blocks or heavy things with piercings.
Ah!
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Like, and I was like, maybe not. That might...
Where are the piercings?
I don't know. I did not ask.
Like, I'm thinking like clavicle.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I do not know.
Go back to the broken ornaments. Hey, if it's good enough to deal with Daniel Stern, it's good enough for us.
Yeah, do I just drop an iron on your face and call it a day? That's not a threat. That's
Merry
not
Christmas.
A threat. I hope that this is...
Yeah.
No, no.
Yeah, so lots of stuff going on. Rosencrantz Coffee, LU Radio will be there.
Metal Santa
will be there.
Yeah.
It is, the whole thing is called Christmas Bazaar, Bazaar 3, The Return of Metal Santa. You can find it, the event on Facebook. Lots going on.
It's so weird how he always disappears when Jason Wellwood shows up. But there's no relation, because Jason wears glasses.
I know.
Wait a second. Metal Santa wears glasses. But they're scary glasses. Also, they're invisible glasses. That's what makes them so scary.
I know. The glasses could be anywhere.
Thanks for listening.
Yep. Oh, and thanks to OCG Defender, as always,
yes.
for helping with the music.
Mm-hmm.
And you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher. You can check us out on our website, on Facebook, on probably Twitter.
Yeah.
We're all sorts of places. Look up Zero Issues. We're there. For you. Mostly for us.
Aw. We can, yeah, no, we're there for you.
Hey, yeah, we're there for you.
Yeah, we're there for you. If you ever want to talk,
for you.
Or if you just want to listen, mostly listen
to us.
We'll talk. We'll do the rest.
It's really the only thing we can do.
All right. See you next week.
Bye bye. What did they prefer to eat? What was their delicacy of choice?
Oh, I was gonna say something nasty.
What was it?
I was gonna say pussy.
Oh yeah.